Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network on this beautiful September 4th edition of our radio program. For those of you who are new to my program today, I warmly welcome you and thank you very much for spending your evening here with us on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. I am one of over 20 different coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network who come to you each and every day to challenge, encourage, and inspire you on this journey that we call life. And for those of you who have been with me on my radio program before, you know that I love to bring people on my show who really walk their talk and who are currently living their legacy today and not waiting until tomorrow to start living full out. And as a life and leadership and relationship restoration coach, I have a huge desire to help others to commit to their truth, to own their own junk, to reconcile and reveal and respond to others with respect, dignity, and honor, to learn how to apply empathy and extend compassion to others, and to really be externally focused. Because news flash, it is not all about us. And so I am super excited to be here with you today. I do come to you from Los Alamos, New Mexico. And our topic this evening is very near and dear to my heart, not only in my family situation, but in my professional career as well. As a life and leadership coach, I am a volunteer board member here in Los Alamos for the Los Alamos Council on Cancer. I am also a Reach to Recovery facilitator and a Look Good, Feel Better coordinator and facilitator here in my community. I've been doing that for quite some time now here with the Los Alamos Council on Cancer and consider it a real privilege to walk shoulder to shoulder and stand by women who are called to this very challenging journey of cancer and cancer survivorship. Today we're going to be talking about ovarian cancer. September is Ovarian Cancer Month, and I am extremely honored and privileged to welcome my two guests to the show today. I have Sarah and Stacy with me today, and they are both ovarian cancer survivors. And I'm going to be bringing them live here in just a moment and welcoming them to the show. But I wanted to offer up real quick a phone number for you listeners. If you would like to call in and offer up any thoughts, questions, or comments to either Sarah, Stacy, or myself, Leanne, I want to offer you up this number. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. And if you want to come into the queue, please press 1, and I will know that you would like to speak with us, and that will bring you into our queue in my studio. And so, again, thank you very much for joining us this evening on this extremely important topic here this month of September. And you know what? I can't stand it. I've just got to welcome Sarah and Stacy. Sarah Noonan and Stacy Mosier, welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Hi, Leanne. Thank you for having us.
Hi, Leanne. Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I am incredibly honored that you've both chosen to be here. And, you know, I could sit and I could read a lot about your stories and about ovarian cancer. But before we do that, ladies, I would love to give our listeners a little quiz here. Is that okay with you guys?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, listeners, if you've got pen and paper in front of you, I just want you to jot a few things down here. I'm going to do something a little bit out of the ordinary that I don't traditionally do on my show, but I really want to stress the importance of this program and the education and the information that you're going to get here is second to none. These women are warriors in my book and in my heart, and their message is incredibly important. So I really want us to engage here. And so the first question that I'm going to ask you is, true or false, ovarian cancer is one of the top five cancers most common to women. True or false, ovarian cancer is in the top five cancers known to women. Ladies and gentlemen, that answer is true. My next question for you is, which of these cancers is the most fatal gynecological cancer for women? Which cancer is the most fatal? Ladies and gentlemen, you are right if you chose ovarian cancer. Around four times as many women die each year of ovarian cancer than cervical cancer. Ovarian cancer is the fourth most fatal cancer after breast, lung, and bowel. Your next question. Which of these cancers does not have a national NHS screening program? You are correct if you chose a screening program for ovarian cancer. There is currently no evidence to show that screening is effective, which means it's extremely important for women and general practitioners to know the symptoms of ovarian cancer. Which of these cancers will a smear test detect? Endometrial cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, or vulval cancer? If you chose cervical cancer, you are correct. The smear test is only used to detect cervical cancer or precancerous changes in the cervix. All right, here's a big one for us. What are the symptoms of ovarian cancer? I'm going to give you four of them, and you tell me which ones pop up for you. Urinary symptoms, needing to potty more urgently or often than usual, persistent bloating or having a swollen tummy, persistent tummy pain, feeling full or having difficulty eating. If you chose all of those, you are correct. If you missed any, you're missing a key symptom of ovarian cancer. Any of these symptoms, when experienced on most, usually more than 12 times a month, are likely to be harmless, but they should be checked out by your physician as they could signal ovarian cancer. So what do you think of this test so far, Sarah and Stacy?
Stacy?
Okay, so I have a question. I got the two S's here. Sorry, ladies.
So I think it's an outstanding test because it definitely highlights every key point that, you know, of the messages we try to get across to women regarding ovarian cancer, the lack of screening tests, the vagueness of the symptoms and how fatal it is, but that the survival rate improves if it's diagnosed early. So great way to start off the show.
I think so, too.
Thanks, ladies. You know, I've got one more question that I think is going to be a surprise to many. And the question is, women of all ages can get ovarian cancer, true or false?
It's true.
It is. It's so true. And people think it only affects certain ages. And I just read an article, I believe it was on your Facebook page, Sarah, a very young lady who was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So, you know, with all of these women every year, over 2,000 women, right, under the age of 50 are diagnosed. I mean, I think that's even a low number. I don't have my exact statistic in front of me for the U.S., but I know it's that way in the U.K., and we have, you know, international listeners here on Life Coach Radio Network, and so tell us a little bit, Sarah, about the young lady and what her age was that you had posted on your Facebook wall.
Yes. The article that was posted was from actually the Minnesota Ovarian Cancer Alliance, who is supporting this young child through her journey, and she was 7 years old when she was diagnosed.
Wow. So ovarian cancer shows no favorite when it comes to age groups at all, does it? And, you know, here's another question, and, you know, you ladies can chime in if you would like, but This is a great one. Ovarian cancer risk is inherited. True or false?
Both.
Both. Yeah, right on. So statistics say that 8 out of 10 ovarian cancer cases are sporadic. That means they're one-offs, and close female relatives or, you know, somebody near them may increase their risk of developing the disease. The remaining 2 in 10 cases are to be caused by inherited faulty gene, which is often the BRCA1, BRCA2 gene, which is also called a mutation that we have been hearing so much about in the media. And so statistics also say if you have 2 or more relatives on the same side of your family, father or mother, you should let your doctor know so you can decide if you're at an increased risk of developing the disease. And so if you have these mutated genes, we really need to be paying attention. And you know, Sarah, for Stacy and I, we are sisters. For those of you who don't know, I am joined by Stacy, my sister, and my new friend, Sarah, today. And Stacy and I came to be sisters through the beautiful journey of adoption. And it's been very interesting as we have grown up, matured, and headed into our adult lives and dealt with different diseases and illnesses in our lives, that our genetic history plays a huge role in our awareness and our ability to manage our health care and do it with confidence. And so I just wanted to put that shout out there about how it's super duper important that we as adoptees have genetic information, you know, because a lot of people will think that the birth father's relatives don't matter when it comes to breast cancer or other types of cancer. And I want to challenge you that that is a false assumption. It says where there are 2 or more cases of breast or ovarian cancer among close relatives on the same side of a woman's family, either mother's side or father's side, the risk of ovarian cancer is increased. So huge deal for those of us adoptees. So for my adoptee listeners, you know, I really want to encourage you to seek out your genetic information, and don't be afraid to ask for that information, because it's incredibly important during these stages of our lives. And so there is all of my commercial announcements, and our quiz for the day, our quiz for the evening is done. But I thought, wow, it was really powerful for me to take the quiz and to look at these statistics and really put an exclamation point on how important this topic really is. And so, you know, it's really kind of fun because both of you ladies, Sarah and Stacy, right now are up in our hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota. So how cool is that? I'm all the way in New Mexico, and we are connected to you both up there in Minnesota. And so how is it up there today?
Hot and sticky.
Hot and sticky?
Hot and sticky.
Right. Well, welcome. And, you know, Sarah, I know you flew in to Minneapolis today for a very special event.
Yes.
And I would love it if we could start our time together, and if you could just share, we don't need to go into great detail about the event that you're there for, but please share with us why you are in Minneapolis today.
I am here today and this weekend to attend my, I think it's my 11th annual Minnesota Ovarian Cancer Alliance, now called the Teal Strides walk runs for ovarian cancer. And I've attended this event since just after my diagnosis 11 years ago, and they have truly been my family and my support system and have gotten me through, you know, some of my darkest days, and I will always come back for this event.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so when you say coming back for this event, where did you fly in from? Where are you living now?
My husband and I just relocated from Chaska, Minnesota, out to Charlotte, North Carolina, just over a year ago. to be with my side of the family. And, you know, I've met a number of wonderful survivors out there and great support systems. But Mocha will always be my original family here.
Wow, that's beautiful, your commitment to this community and to raising awareness and providing love and support, you know, all the way across the country. That says a lot for your commitment to this community and to the cause. And so thank you again, Sarah, for being here with us on Walk Your Talk with Leanne tonight. And, you know, I would love it if you could share with us, and at what age were you when you were diagnosed with ovarian cancer?
It was in June of 2003, and I was 31 years old.
Wow, 2003 at 31. That's very young. And how were you diagnosed? Yeah, well, let's just start here. So, Sarah, 31, we're kind of clicking through life. We're living life full time. We're probably pre-active. We've got lots of friends. We've got an active social life.
Yep, you hit the nail on the head across the board.
Okay,
so,
great. And
I was just going to continue that story because you're exactly right. You know, sailing through work, friends, social life, being active. And at that time, I was married to my husband for about 6 years, and we decided we wanted to start trying to have a family. So that's kind of where my journey from, you know, symptoms to diagnosis began, was through several months of not being successful conceiving. I decided that, you know, it's time to get things checked out. And in addition to that, that's worth mentioning in my situation was some other symptoms that were vague, not necessarily the four big ones, but I was experiencing some severe and heavy periods accompanied by really painful low back pain, which it sometimes incapacitated me. And, you know, I started to get concerned, but then the next month I would feel fine and everything was okay. But by about February of 2003, when, you know, we weren't getting pregnant and I still wasn't feeling that great, I decided to go see my primary care physician. And that's when the ball started to roll. And essentially what happened at that appointment was my primary care physician performed a pelvic exam, and at that point she was able to detect an enlargement on my right ovary. And then she immediately recommended transvaginal ultrasound.
Wow. So she felt it right away. And how long have you been having those real heavy periods, painful back pain along with the top four? How long had that been going on for you, do you think?
That was probably, it was on and off. So, again, it wasn't, you know, persistent and continually worsening, but on and off for the previous 4 to 6 months, I would say.
Okay, wow. And, you know, oftentimes we can think in our 20s and 30s that heavy periods are just normal. I haven't had a kiddo yet, so it's just really normal. And we can start to dismiss those things into that, hey, you're overreacting kind of
attitude. Yep, and I'm so grateful that my physician did not feel like I was overreacting, and she was kind of on top of things right away. And so, like I said, she recommended a transvaginal ultrasound, and I had that study done within a week, and it was very clear. It showed three large masses on my right ovary, but all of them appeared to be benign in nature. Like, they couldn't tell, you know, the seriousness of what was going on just by that imaging study.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, she referred me on to an OBGYN, you know, given that fertility was an important issue for us. And he, too, reviewed the study, the ultrasound pictures, and felt, you know, at best it's benign cysts of your ovary, which are relatively common in younger women, and at worst possibly endometriosis. So that's where we were at that point, and I will touch on, you know, I had no family history. I appreciate that you talked about that and the risk factors, but, you know, looking at me and my age and my relatively good health and no family history, it really wasn't even a consideration at the time that this could be ovarian cancer.
Wow.
So
that's
huge.
Yeah, so then what was the next step? So after all this appearing to be benign situation,
Then how were you diagnosed?
Right. So the OBGYN kind of took a wait and watch approach for a couple of months. He, you know, recommended my husband have a sperm analysis done, which he did, and that was normal. He recommended that I track my ovulation, and at that time it was tracking temperatures. There were no ovulation kits. That makes me feel old. but, you know, his hope was that, you know, maybe you guys are timing things a little off and a pregnancy would essentially resolve this. However, you know, over the course of 2.5 months of, you know, watching and waiting, he did a repeat ultrasound and really nothing had changed. So he felt it's time to do a surgery, get rid of these cysts, and, you know, hopefully you can move on and start a family. So by the end of May, the pain I was experiencing started to move and get worse, and it was really localized in my right pelvis area. So he scheduled surgery for June 3rd, which was supposed to be a laparoscopy day procedure. I'd be home that evening recovering. However, unfortunately, during that first surgery, he discovered, you know, he could tell, I think, as soon as he looked at it, and he had initial biopsies read by a pathologist, and they were able to determine immediately that they were cancerous. And by the grace of God, because I never even knew to ask this, my OBGYN immediately stopped the surgery. He didn't try to remove anything, and he consulted with a gynecologic oncologist to follow up with my care from that point on. And there's, you know, lots of studies out there that show that survival rates improve dramatically when you are treated by the specialist, the gynecologic oncologist, to appropriately stage the cancer and remove the tumors and any, you know, cells that are lurking around.
Right. I have heard that as well. And it also says that it decreases the rate of reoccurrence, right, when you actually get a gynecologist. Yeah. And, you know, before Stacy was diagnosed, my sister Sarah, I had never even heard of a gynecologic oncologist. And I wouldn't be surprised if many of our listeners had never heard that term, maybe until this very moment, live on our radio program today.
Right.
Have
you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm in the medical profession, so the words weren't unfamiliar to me, but the specialty, I guess I'd never really thought about it. So, you know, I didn't ever know to ask the OBGYN, hey, by the way, if this is cancer, can you make sure you refer me on to the appropriate specialist?
Right.
So I'm just so grateful that my surgeon knew that this was kind of out of his hands and he wanted to give me the best outcome, and so that's what he did.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm sure you're very, very grateful for that step.
Yeah.
And, you know, for our physicians and nurses that are listening in, you know, I just thank you for the work that you do and your commitment to professionalism and to not be afraid to say you don't have all the answers and let's get a specialist in here. And so
Absolutely.
I just want to offer up that encouragement as well. You know, I'm part of a team, Sarah, that's really wanting to bring coaching into healthcare. And this is part of our message, is coming together as a team. And, you know, as a cancer patient, help me to understand what that was like for you when you received the news that it wasn't indeed benign cysts, but it was cancer that required specialists and then a care plan.
Yes. Yeah, that was an interesting experience for me because when I came out of that first surgery, I was still in somewhat of a fog from the anesthesia, but this moment in my journey was so powerful for me because I remember clearly the OBGYN, you know, I'm still alone in the recovery room. My family members are out of the room. He knelt down next to me, he held my hand, and he told me, I'm sorry, Sarah, this is ovarian cancer, and you're going to need a hysterectomy. And I just remember, like, how quickly I went from fear and pain and, you know, profound sadness to, like, immediately something, a flip switched in my brain, like, okay, what do we have to do now? It was, I just can't even explain, like, how that happened. And I think a lot of it was just the honesty and the compassion that my healthcare provider had for me in letting me know what was going on but not abandoning me at that point, you know, just holding my hand knowing that was going to be hard for me to hear.
Absolutely, and just that assurance that you're not walking it alone. And, sounds like kind of empowering, you know, I mean, when you said, okay, what's next? Instead of staying in that stuck place of, oh my goodness, that takes a tremendous amount of courage as well to even be able to look at your options right at the get-go there and even want to hear them. Because oftentimes when someone gets a cancer diagnosis, it is just like being hit. I've heard it a couple of different ways with the different people I've worked with over the years. It's like either being hit with a baseball bat. I've heard that. I've heard it called that cancer hijacked their life. And that absolutely they couldn't think straight, see straight. They couldn't even speak. And the other one that I've heard is it absolutely took their breath away. They just, it was like they stopped breathing. And so, wow, thank you for that real intimate, real sacred, honest look into the beginning of your journey. That's just huge, and I'm really honored that you share that with us. And, you know, we have a caller in the queue, and so I just want to double-check before we move forward anymore that I pay attention to them. So I want to open up the line to 732. You are live with Walk Your Talk with Leanne. Do you have a thought, comment, or question?
Hey, Leanne, I just wanted to say hi. This is Gina Costa, and I think these women are amazing.
Oh, Gina, thank you so much for being here. You know,
I wouldn't have missed it.
Sarah and Stacy, I want to introduce you to a friend and colleague of mine. This is Gina. And, Gina, before we go any further, I don't want to tell anything about your story, but tell these two ladies and our listeners something special about you that brings you on this call today.
I lost my mother to ovarian cancer. 3 days later, I gave birth to my daughter. And about a decade later, my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And in between there, I became a very big advocate for the cause. And then when I was diagnosed, it took me on the road to becoming a cancer survivorship coach.
That is awesome. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, and I just want you ladies to know that I friended both of you on Facebook, so if you don't friend me back, I'm going to be very upset.
Thanks, Gina.
We'll do it.
And I also want to thank you. I also want to thank you for sharing, because I come from a family who kind of didn't like to share and was very private and, you know, so I really have to applaud you for sharing your story, and I think that has somewhat of an impact on why I feel I have to share. So, you know, again, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Gina, for sharing, and I just love the sisterhood here. And, you know, I had mentioned just a few moments ago that I am part of a team that is trying very, very hard to bring coaching into healthcare, into cancer survivorship, as well as into the adoption community, and Gina is part of that team. So I have just gotten to know Gina and just really respect her and love the work that she is doing as well, and we just have both of us, all of us, right? We wouldn't be here today if we didn't have a heart for awareness, advocacy, and cancer survivorship. And so just love that about our community and about us as women. You know, our mothers came from a generation where you keep everything quiet. Golly, right, ladies, if you had gas, don't you dare talk about it. Go to the bathroom. If you're feeling bloated, you know, get some Vino, right? And if you've got lower back pain, you better start working out because it's all your fault. And as we have revealed today, that is not so much the case, that these issues, we need to be talking about this kind of stuff. And so I really do appreciate this whole thing. And you know what? We have got a special caller on the line again. So, Stacy, gear yourself up, because after this caller, we are going to come to you, and I want you to tell us a little bit about your journey and what it was like for you walking into your diagnosis. And then I want both of you guys to share what your journey was like through your treatment, and then what survivorship has been like for you. So take a deep breath, and I'm going to bring in our next caller into the queue, and I'll be right back. So hold on to your hats. Here we go.
All right, 612, you are live with Leanne Parsons on Walk Your Talk with Leanne, and you are joined by Sarah and Stacy and Gina, and we are all on here, and welcome.
Hi, thank you. This is Kathleen Gavin. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Ovarian Cancer Alliance.
Kathleen,
hi, Kathleen.
Thank you. thank you so much for joining us this evening. I really appreciate you being here, as I know these other gals do as well.
Well, I'm really glad that you are covering this really important topic on your show and bringing awareness to this disease and also to these fabulous women who are providing support to each other and lots of other women all over the country. I know Sarah shared with you that she has come back for the Mocha Teal Strides event this Saturday. And what she didn't tell you is that she was really instrumental in helping get this organization to where it is today as one of the top nonprofit organizations in the country fighting this disease. And Sarah has always been in a leadership position, was a vice president of the organization for a long time and involved in all of our programs and activities, and also served as one of the chairs of our Young Survivor Network, which, as she's doing again today, providing support and information to others who have taken the same journey that she has in such an open, caring, and compassionate way.
Oh, I love that, and kudos. Yeah, kudos to all of you for the role that you play, very instrumental in so many people's lives. And so, Kathleen, could you please share with us a little bit more about this event that Sarah flew in for and that Stacy will be attending in Minnesota this weekend?
Yeah, sure, I would love to. So it is a walk run, and it takes place at Roslyn Park in Edina. It's a 2K walk and a 5K run and then a kids' fun run. And but I always want to stress, you know, it's not really a big athletic event. What it really is an outpouring of support from our community to all those who have been impacted by ovarian cancer. So there are about 3,000 people who come together, and all of our partners in the healthcare community, so University of Minnesota and Mayo and Minnesota Oncology, they send teams of doctors and nurses and social workers, and then lots of survivors are there. Sarah has her big Team Noonan family and friends, so people come with their family, friends, their dogs. Some people come by themselves, you know, and people come to remember those they have lost, and they come to honor those who may have just started their journey. It's a really moving event. And it is our biggest fundraiser. We raise close to $300,000 a year, which we devote to ovarian cancer research and programs. Trying to both support women dealing with the disease today as well as funding research that will change the future of the disease. So it's a super fun event, and it's really, really important in terms of keeping keeping the research moving in the right direction.
Absolutely, and I love to hear that this is going on, because so oftentimes we hear all about other walks and runs for many different types of cancer. And it's really great to know that this secret silent cancer is so well represented up in Minnesota. And I know with Mocha, they also provide education for medical professionals and fundraising opportunities. And what can you share with us about survivorship plans and different programs that you offer cancer survivors at
Sure,
Mocha?
Sure. So right from the very beginning of a diagnosis, we are here for women and their families and friends and even places of employment if they want information. So we have support groups for women dealing with a diagnosis, and they're kind of we have different support groups for different people at different stages in the journey. So we have something called MOCA Connections when women are first diagnosed, where they can come to our office and talk to a long-term survivor and a oncology nurse and ask those questions that they might have been either felt too rushed or too nervous to ask in the doctor's office, as well as with in the presence of a long-term survivor, you know, right there, that's the embodiment of hope. And you know, it's such a can be a really devastating diagnosis and frightening. And so we always like to provide that hope to women that, look, this is not a death sentence, that women can live with this disease and live long, full lives. And so that's MOCA Connections. And then we have ongoing support groups for women to come together as they're going through their treatment. And then we do have a support group for what we think of more experienced women, so women who may have recurred and are dealing with some of the tougher aspects of the disease, where, you know, maybe they have to give up their job, maybe they, you know, they're really looking at all kinds of different types of treatments, that, and so there's a group for them too. We also have a mentor program where women can get one-on-one support from each other, and this is particularly great for people who live outstate Minnesota or are super busy or, you know, for whatever reason can't come to a support group. We have ongoing education programs, so probably every other month we do a meeting on some aspect of living with ovarian cancer that, you know, our members have said is important to them. So, you know, sexuality after a cancer diagnosis, or dealing with the emotional impact of ovarian cancer, or, you know, fun ones too. So a night of pampering for women with ovarian cancer. So that type of programming. And then we have scholarships for oncology nurses, and we have dream awards for women with ovarian cancer to take a special trip or make a memory. We have a new fund to support women to go to a camp for ovarian cancer survivors. So really, MOCA is a super vital and growing organization, and it truly is a reflection of all of the people who have been a part of us. And Sarah was one of those people who really kept our Young Survivor Network going. And that was a very, you know, it is a very special program of MOCA's. So we try and, you know, both respond to and integrate all of the needs and desires of people who are part of our membership of MOCA.
Sure.
We're a very nimble, you know, little organization.
Right. Well,
and
thank
then
you.
The
thank
biggest
you.
Part of our budget goes for research. We've given
okay.
$4.5 million for research in the state of Minnesota, and everything from trying to develop early detection tests to funding research on vaccines to prevent recurrence, new types of treatments, with some really promising things.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you for that overview of what MOCA is doing up there and, you know, really raising that awareness. How aware is the community, not just the ovarian cancer community, but in Minnesota, cancer patients? What's your thoughts? You know, Kathleen, Sarah, Stacy, Gina, anybody can chime in on this, but how utilized are these programs by survivors and recently diagnosed? What experience? What can you tell us about that?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd like to answer?
Go ahead,
well,
Kathleen.
I mean, yeah. You know, I think that when I talk to colleagues from around the country or people dealing with the disease, sometimes they'll say, gosh, you know, we're we're tired of other diseases getting so much attention, or, and, you know, I don't hear that in this community, because I do, I think it's really different in the time that has elapsed since Sarah and I got involved with MOCA 11 years ago, in Sarah's case 12 in mine, where, you know, people in this community know about ovarian cancer now. I really think they do. And, you know, we've been educating physicians, primary care physicians, for 10 years now, people going through the medical school. So there's a whole generation of doctors practicing in this state and hopefully in neighboring states who do know about a lot more about ovarian cancer because of the work of MOCA. We have billboards. We were in the press constantly. Last week we had the 35W bridge lit up teal. On Friday the Lowry Bridge will be lit up teal. So teal is becoming, you know, I really think people are aware. Now, that being said, you know, you really don't pay attention to something until it affects you. Mm-hmm. And
right.
When it does, I think our medical community is really good at directing people to MOCA now. And, mm-hmm. and I, you know, with the Internet, people are, it's very easy for people to find us if they want us.
Right.
You know?
Perfect.
So
I
have a lot more concern now about our women in neighboring states where there are not groups like MOCA. You know, the Dakotas and Montana and Wyoming, where you can really be alone with a diagnosis like this and away from major medical centers who know how to treat you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's, you know, part of why I wanted to do this show. I'm so honored that all of you women have chosen to be here, because it's incredibly powerful, and we really do need to be talking about this. And, you know, listeners, if you don't have something like MOCA in your community, talk to your healthcare providers. Talk to your, you know, in our community here in Los Alamos, we have a council on cancer. Now, we don't have a set anything specifically for ovarian, but there's a lot of women here in my community who have been touched by this disease. And, you know, we need to be sharing and hooking people up with a buddy or somebody that they can speak with, and or an organization like MOCA. You know, you all are very fortunate up in Minnesota to have the Mayo Clinic and some other key leading institutions that really are primary in being able to really be a front runner in this disease. And Stacey, you had an experience at the Mayo Clinic, and I would love it if you could share a little bit about your story with us, my dear sister, and tell us about how your journey started.
My journey started in July of 2008. That's when I was diagnosed here in Minneapolis. I follow Sarah's transvaginal ultrasound that said it was probably benign, and they were 99% sure that it was benign. And so I did a laparoscopic procedure here at Southdale, and it turned out to be that it was ovarian cancer. So I was transferred down to the Mayo Clinic, and I had surgery in August for the removal. And I did my first set of chemo on September 23rd, 2008, and did my last one in January 23rd, 2009. So I did all mine down at the Mayo Clinic.
And what was that experience? Yeah, what was that experience like for you at the Mayo Clinic?
The Mayo Clinic was very wonderful. I felt like a princess through this whole trauma that I was going through, because I had just started my new life and was hit with this diagnosis. And that really hit hard because, of course, Leanne, you know, I was there for Mom and Dad when they went through both their cancer diagnosis and treatment. And, you know, Dad passed away from it, and Mom succumbed to hers couple of years ago, and it was hard because it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I saw their struggles, and then it just kind of like stopped time, and you know, just kind of reflecting on that after surgery. And my doctor came into my room, and he looked at me and he said, why are you so sad? And I said, well, I feel, you know, I lost a part of me and I feel like my life's over. And he said to me, your life's just starting. And that really hit to me, you know, to try and go, okay, let's kick it into survivor mode. And he brought a sense of peace to me because he did, you know, they do hold your hand. They do have this compassion for you and make you feel very, very special and that you're not isolated and you're not alone because, you know, that's how I felt when I was diagnosed with alone. And, you know, my family's all, you know, spread out and my friends are spread out also, and I just felt very isolated. And then when I hooked up with Mocha and Sarah came into my life, that really, I look up to you, Sarah, so much because you've given me so much strength. And without Mocha and without Sarah, you know, pushing you forward and helping you through, you know, the chatter that goes through your head, you know, that was very instrumental on the way I thought and felt. And with you, Leanne, my sister, coming in and taking care of me and knowing that I had you there, you know, just even brought it all back around into one circle and gathered my thoughts and kicked into that, you know, let's go fight, let's get this done with and move on, survivorship type feeling. So, you know, mostly what I have, you know, it's just you just go through so much in your head and you have all these thoughts and you just don't know where to go with these thoughts. And with Mocha and talking to your doctors and you know, other survivors is what helps you keep going and striving forward and getting out of your head and into back into life.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a
well
very
said.
Powerful.
Well said,
very
Stacey.
Well said. You know, and that is where we can go, right, ladies, is we can spin in our heads. And organizations like Mocha, doing this walk, you know, and even tomorrow is the big Wear Teal Day. I know I'll have my teal on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's the big nationwide push, right, for all of us to put teal on to raise awareness for ovarian cancer. And Stacey, when you said getting out of your head and starting to live your life, you know, that's a very powerful, I'm going to tweet it, I'm going to quote yes. You know, that's a very powerful phrase because oftentimes with a cancer diagnosis, we think that life sucks. I think each one of you ladies spoke that all of a sudden you go, oh, you know, we can look at it as a death sentence. We can look at it as, you know, a whole stopping point, a big, you know, it is a life-changing event. But as we have learned as coaches, and family members and caregivers that walk alongside someone when they've received a diagnosis, we each have a decision how we're going to approach our diagnosis. We each have a decision about the attitude and the strength that we're going to bring to the table and how many people we're going to gather around us, as I like to call our power team. And it sounds like each one of us, each one of you ladies, gathered people around you for your power team to give you the support, encouragement, and inspiration to really fight this thing. And now I've got three, I'm not sure about Kathleen, but I've got three cancer survivors on the line with me today. I am so humbled.
Yeah.
And so
I should make clear, I have not personally experienced ovarian cancer.
Leanne, okay, I just actually wanted to make a comment on, you know, when Kathleen's son, on what the lady said.
Go for it.
Just that I think they both survivors raised very important awarenesses or issues, one of them being to seek the best medical treatment possible and to go to that source. I'm not saying local hospitals, there's anything wrong with them, but if you're near a city where there's, you know, a better hospital, for example, you know, these ladies seem to have been treated at the best places. I live in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I, you know, went to Memorial Sloan Kettering to be treated. So seek your best source for medical attention. Then what one of the other ones said was definitely about when she woke up and she kind of flipped that switch. And, you know, what you're talking about here is we all have a choice. And when I got my diagnosis, I had a similar experience, and I felt like I got hit by a, you know, lightning bolt. That's what how I phrase it. And for me, that was a message that, you know, no one could have told me this, but it was a message to Gina to say, stop it. Stop living your life like this. Stop running around, you know, like a crazy mm-hmm. woman, stressed out. Yeah. Stop and change it. And it's almost mm-hmm. sometimes like an alcoholic or a drug addict where no one can tell them to stop until they have an experience that tells them mm-hmm. stop and it's time mm-hmm. to change. So, again, you know, I want to applaud the messages that, you know, in addition to so many other that they're speaking about and this great organization, but, you know, just keep getting those messages out there. They're so important.
You know, they really are.
You bring up
bringing that up, Gina. Go ahead.
Really, really important point, and that is about getting your care in a center that has experience with ovarian cancer. There's really good research to show, I think Sarah mentioned this, that if your surgery is done by a gynecologic oncologist, it improves your odds of surviving by, well, 18 months. And even more than that, if you have your surgery done in a place by a gynecologic oncologist that does a lot of surgeries for ovarian cancer, it really improves your chances of surviving as well as, you know, having less surgical complications or needing to have multiple surgeries. So that's one thing. And then the other issue that was brought up around genetics and family history, this is something new and something where MOCA's work, we have a lot of work to do. I didn't mean to insinuate that, you know, everybody knows about ovarian cancer now, so we're done. It is now recommended that all women with an ovarian cancer diagnosis have an appointment with a genetic counselor to determine whether they should have genetic testing or not. It's much clearer with women with ovarian cancer than breast cancer. You know, that's nothing about how old you are or when you were diagnosed or how many people in your family have had cancer. If you have an ovarian cancer diagnosis, you should see a genetic counselor. And the thinking is there are some genetic mutations. If you have them, you are at high risk for breast cancer, and people in your family then can be tested to take some risk-reducing strategies. So that's something new in the last couple of years. I think even just in the last year, the medical community has really gotten behind that. And where you get your medical care and getting the right care is really, really important.
And I would have to also agree with the genetic testing. You know, it's so crucial.
Right. And
mm-hmm. It is.
Leanne,
and
you
Stacey,
know that I was tested.
Well, I'm
a BRCA 2, so I do carry the mutation of the breast cancer gene and the pancreatic cancer gene
mm-hmm.
and the ovarian. So
mm-hmm.
at the Mayo Clinic, I was watched every 3 months for the first 2 years after finishing chemo, and then they backed it down to every 6 months. Well, then I went down last February, I think it was February or April of this year, and they actually told me that they didn't want to see me until the next year. So that was a good sign, because all of my testing for my, breasts and ovarian have, like, stayed. So they said that I was cured, but they want to keep on it every year for the breast side because I am a BRCA2 carrier. And
mm-hmm.
that comes from my biological side of the family, because the only people who are left in our family is my other half-sister and my birth mother. Everybody else in my family has died from cancer. So it's very hard, but yet, you know, you still got to, again, keep out of your head, forget the purple elephant because he's gone, he's in the water, and keep living, because if you let it get to you, then you're going to end up being nothing but on the couch and missing life.
Right, and that's you know, yeah, you really, Stacey, I love that you shared that, and that is one of the huge struggles in terms of survivorship, though, is, you know, just
you
all have been through treatment, right? But that whole survivorship mode, you've got the BRCA2, or you've got to worry about going in, you know, checking for appointments, and that's what a lot of people forget. Is one, you know, your hair may be grown back, your eyebrows are back, you're shaving your legs and your armpits again, but
yeah,
you're
bummer.
Still, yeah, so what, share with us, Polly, I cannot believe we are almost at the top of the hour, this is crazy, we can go a little over, and so I have that privilege, it's my show, so I would love it, you know, but I want to be sensitive to y'all's time, but what are some of the biggest challenges now as survivors? Share with us. Sarah, maybe let's start with you, and then we'll go to Stacey.
Well, I just want to comment, too. You know, Stacey was talking earlier about how important it was to get connected to Mocha and her relationship with me, and it just gives me goosebumps. It's so beautiful, these relationships that are cultivated through Mocha. And, you know, when I was first diagnosed, it was more fear. It was more frightening for me to hear the news that I would have to have chemotherapy versus me having cancer. And that's the moment I was connected with Mocha, and I was connected with a young survivor who had been through so many rounds of chemotherapy, and she calmed me in a way that no one else could. And she passed away 7 years ago, and I think about her every single day, and I think, I feel like what she gave to me, it's my obligation, it's my responsibility, it's my privilege to pass that on to the people that I meet that are newly diagnosed, and you know, it's how I carry her legacy. So, you know, Stacey's saying I've done all these things for her, but for me to be able to do that gives me so much, you know, in my survivorship, and it pulls me out of my, you know, feelings of self-pity because I can't have my own children and all of those issues that I deal with now. And I think, you know, even 11 years out, it still hurts when I hear a friend is pregnant, you know, and no one understands that except for the people that have gone through what I've gone through. And, you know, the pain gets less, and like my mother-in-law says, you never get over something, but you do get through it, and that is so true. And, you know, these connections to me are so important. And, you know, those emotional things that are there forever, you know, people look at me, and I'm in a new state now. And when I first got there, like, no one would ever know what I've been through. I have my hair, like you said. I'm, you know, I'm healthy weight again and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so vital, and I love that you guys are doing the survivorship thing. It's something I'm really interested in, and just the emotional losses, they will never go away, and I'm just so thankful that I have all these survivors around me to just, you know, talk to you about that, and I just know they get it, and that's just so important.
Yes.
Isn't that so key, to have people in your world, Sarah and Stacey, that get you?
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, you totally get where I'm coming from. And isn't it neat not to have to explain yourself? When you say it's really hard when you hear somebody's pregnant or when they've just had a baby or whatever, you know, your community gets that. And, you know, that's a gift that you give each other. It's a sisterhood, and it's a huge bonding. It's a place where you can come together and really be empathetic and compassionate and really connect with each other at the core level. I love that you brought that up. And, you know, you and Stacey both have shared with me about the desire to give back. And, you know, by doing the show, you're both doing that, and Kathleen and Gina as well. It's just so incredible that you're taking the time to do this. And, Stacey, what can you share with us about a struggle or a challenge in survivorship?
My struggle and challenge is just trying to, since I am alone and I don't have you next door where I can go have coffee and stuff, or Sarah, you know, hey, let's go have lunch, is just to try and feel like I'm fitting in, that I'm doing something, that I'm helping somebody, you know. Even when I just help a lady into the grocery store because she's elderly, makes me feel better that I did something, even though it wasn't for ovarian cancer, but I have a purpose in life. I've lost my purpose in life when I had ovarian cancer, you know, because I had my whole life figured out and what I was going to do, and then this stopped me, and it's redirected me, and I'm still trying to find where I fit and what I can do. That's my struggle. Is just trying to find out what I can do to give back, to help, to, you know, feel purposeful. Because I can't be a mom, so no one's there to, you know, need me. I'm, you know, I can't have a dog in the condo, you know. Just little things like that. You know, it's like, dang it, I want a dog because the dog would need me, you know. It's just something, you know. So that's just my struggle. It's just trying to find a purpose and an outlet to try and help somebody else, which, you know, give back to what I was given from God. I mean, God gave me a second life, and I'm thankful for him, you know, because without his knowledge to the doctors, I would not be here where I'm at.
Right. You know what? I love that you shared that. One thing I remember, I was there for your surgery, Stacey, and I remember the doctor coming out and saying, and telling you and telling me, saying, she just received a miracle. I'm not sure what happened. But there was more cancer that we saw prior to surgery than when I was there. And, you know, that's one of the powerful, what's that?
Dr. Mariani said that.
He did. And he just said, you were given a miracle, and I think each one of you have been, and you're sharing part of that miracle with us today, and that miracle is your voice, and it's your life. And Kathleen, real quick, if somebody wants to join the walk on Saturday at the very last minute, is that a possibility?
Sure. Thank you for asking. Yes, we do have on-site registration. We'll have lots of volunteers there who can register people. It's supposed to be a beautiful day, 70 degrees and sunny, so a great day. And there's free parking at Southdale. There's all kinds of information on our website, which is mnovarian.org. Or you can call the MOCA office tomorrow, and our number is 612-822-0500. You can, and we do have same-day registration. Also, if anybody wants to connect with us for any reason, before or after the walk, we are here 5 days a week, and we'll be happy to support you in any way that we can.
Great. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for that information.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina, you're still with us. Give us a shout-out, and if somebody wants to get in touch with you and they have questions, thoughts, or comments out on the East Coast, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. They can go to either Facebook at facebook.com/GinaCostaCoach, or to my website, www.newbeginningswithgina.com. And I just want to add to what the lady said and say, you know, that, and I know it's difficult to just try to live in the present moment because today is all that we know that we have. And the other thing that I try to, you know, teach or give to my clients is to, because they see all the changes that are going on in their lives, and, you know, just to take this as an opportunity to create the life that you want moving forward.
I love that, Gina. Thank you. And, you know, my whole business name is Legacy Now Lived. And, you know, I know, Sarah, you mentioned that word, and Stacey, you and I have talked about it over the years, about living the legacy today that we want to leave. And we really don't leave a legacy. We are living it today, and you are stellar examples of that, each one of you that pour out your lives for women and the people in your lives by giving back to them. And Sarah, I know you're on a busy schedule as well, and, you know, we could have made this a multi-episode show. I would love to have you on again and talk
I know.
About this. I feel like we just are tipping the iceberg, and we really are. And I would love to, if you could share some closing thoughts or comments.
Guys, I need to jump. This is Kathleen. So I'm going to jump off and listen. But thank you so much. And Sarah and Stacey, I'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kathleen.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Kathleen, for being here. Okay, great. Sorry about that. Okay, Sarah, what do you got? What kind of closing thoughts do you have for us?
I think, you know, when I was kind of reflecting about my experience and preparing for this show, one of the things that kind of came out of my pen as I was writing some things down was, you know, I look at my phases of, you know, diagnosis and treatment and recovery and think about what survivorship means to me, because I know this is a huge area of passion for you and myself as well. And I've heard the term before, burden of survivorship. And, you know, I latched on to that in the beginning in terms of, you know, what it means to be a cancer survivor and all these changes that I go through. And, you know, as I've come to know people at MOCA and get involved with advocacy and raising awareness, I see that, you know, there's a responsibility I have given an early stage diagnosis where many other women are not given that blessing. And now, you know, it's moved beyond a responsibility for me and more of a privilege. And like I said before, it heals me every day when I can share my story, when I can listen to another survivor, when I can express my feelings of loss to another survivor. It's healing, and it's just a privilege to be here and, you know, share my journey with other people and just keep that moving. And I'm just grateful to have found, you know, MOCA in the beginning and then new survivors out in North Carolina.
Thank you, Sarah, so much. Very well said. And I just wish you all the best and enjoy your time up in Minnesota with all of your people. I'm sure they are all incredibly, I know Stacey is excited to see you and spend time with you. And I pray for you continued wellness and healing and purposeful moments every day, which I can tell just by our time together today that you do live full out. And so many people are blessed to know you, and I know I am. You've enriched my life by being here today, and I really appreciate your presence here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne, and thank you so much for supporting survivors through their journey and all the survivorship work that you're doing. I'm so grateful for that, and I'm happy to, you know, have met you, and I know this is just the start of a whole new relationship. So thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you, Stacey.
Can't wait to see you, Gina.
Thanks, Gina, for sharing your experience.
Oh, my pleasure. Leanne, I just wanted to say thank you for the invite, because I find myself a lot of the time missing these wonderful opportunities, and I know there was a reason why I walked into this one, so thank you.
Oh, Gina, thank you so much for being here as well. And Stacey, I would love it. What closing thoughts, comments, suggestions, encouragement do you have for us?
I just have to, you know, follow with what Sarah said. You know, it's just because I'm like, Sarah, as long as you can talk to someone and give them, you know, the boost that, like, I want to relate to someone else who needs a boost, like what Sarah has done for me. And I feel honored that Sarah is my friend and has helped me and guided me and picked me up. And I just look at her and I want to, you know, keep her momentum going. So, I just follow with what she's saying, is because, you know, life has a purpose and we just need to keep going further and, you know, stay out of our head and help the next person. That's what life's about, helping each other out.
Being
absolutely, girl.
I love that, Stacey. Way to go. Very well said. And, you know, we are here, each one of us, for a special purpose. And we are called to some stuff in our lives that we never have expected. And oftentimes that is a really hard diagnosis. And each one of you ladies have exhibited such tremendous grace, strength, and courage as you walk through this journey. And as a friend, as a sister, as a coach, a mentor, and just a woman who just has such a heart to be of service to her community and world, it's an incredible privilege and honor to spend time with each one of you. And, you know, I've just got to share my contact information as well. I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach here on Life Coach Radio Network. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and I also have a website, thewalkyourtalkcoach.com, and I really do equip, empower, and inspire women to fully walk the life that they were created to live and not let fears, insecurities, or challenges hold them back. And, you know, I just want to give a plug out as well to IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. It is where both Gina and I have been trained. And they are an innovator in the field of high performance, leadership, and engagement. And we are, as I've shared earlier, part of a team in the core well-being division focused on bringing coaching skills into healthcare and to support healthcare professionals and patients to create greater well-being, be more engaged, and more empowered. And within the realm of cancer survivorship, Tamara Lane, she is my mentor coach, and she is the managing director of the Core Well-Being Program, has combined her experience as a leading cancer survivorship coach with IPEC's powerful Core Energy coaching program to develop a virtual care plan for survivors. And I just wanted to give a plug out for that, because if this care plan helps transform stress, which I'm sure Sarah, Stacey, and Gina, if I asked you, were you ever under any stress going to cancer treatment or survivorship, would you all, because listen to you girls giggle. Yeah, the element of stress is huge, right? How about fatigue, ladies?
Yes.
How about what?
Yeah. Fatigue?
Oh, yeah.
Fatigue, yeah. But that's one of the symptoms of ovarian cancer, too, fatigue, but it's a higher fatigue than the fatigue of stress, you know.
Absolutely. It's so big. And, you know, we don't, when we're under a lot of stress and fatigue, we don't have the energy to thrive and create a sustainable approach to even our prevention in the future and our well-being currently. And so those of us at IPEC, we love you, we support you, and we are committed to being a driving force in getting patient-centered care plans to cancer survivorship in the hands of as many survivors as possible. And so, you know, if you have questions about that, please reach out to me at 505-412-1817 is my direct line. You can also reach me at thewalkyourtalkcoach@gmail.com. And if you want to go straight to IPEC, I encourage you to send an email to survivors@ipeccoaching.com. That's IPECCOACHING.com. We are here to support you and the healthcare professionals that serve you. And again, ladies, my goodness, thank you for staying over with me on our program today. You have provided tremendous service. I do want to let you all know that this show will be archived on Blog Talk Radio. It will be on my website as well as iTunes. So please feel free to share and share again. This show and these beautiful women and their message could very well save a life. So don't hold back sharing the message of ovarian cancer. Wear your teal tomorrow. And if you do, I want to know about it. I want you to send me a message on Facebook of you in your teal. How's that sound, girls? Will you do that?
Great.
Absolutely.
Yes, we'll do.
Perfect. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. Enjoy your Saturday walk. I look forward to hearing more about the success of the walk, the amount of money that is raised, and the awareness that just penetrates from your commitment to this community. Again, I'm very humbled, and thank you so much. Please tune in to Life Coach Radio Network for some upcoming shows that we have. Ladies, bear with me one moment here. We have shows on the 5th at 11 a.m. with Coach Nika as she discusses energy healing. We have Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz on the 8th at 8 p.m. and Fund of Fortune with Coach Jeff at noon on the 9th. And again, you will hear from me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, on September 18th. Stay tuned for an amazing show soon to come. Sarah, thank you. God bless you. I wish you the best. And I, again, like you shared, I'm so looking forward to further connection with you. And
absolutely.
Enjoy your
thank
time.
You,
and again, absolutely. Thank you. Gina, thank you for being here. I look forward to our connection, which will be happening here in the next week or so.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I look forward. Absolutely. And my sissy,
Stacey, I just love you. I am so proud of you, your courage and determination. And, sweetheart, you had shared a long time ago that you just didn't know what to do and that you wanted to make a difference. And I just want to tell you, this evening you made a difference in my life, in the lives of these women, and in the lives of any listener that we have had on the show or who will be listening in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne, for doing this and everything, you know, so we can get the word out. I just really am touched that you would do this.
Hey,
so
this
thank
is
you.
One small thing. In your honor and in honor of all of those who have gone before you and who are yet to be encouraged by you, I love each of you. God bless your day, and thank you so much for joining
thank
me
you.
Here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye, Sarah. Bye, Dana.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye, Dana. Bye, Stacey.
Bye.
I love this. Until next time.